AJ wants to see how I'm going to introduce a talk about the Dunk Tank project. This is not at all controversial. No, I'll just settle for saying that this is a report that a lot of people will be very interested to hear. It's
Mostly in other countries,
which is probably a good thing. So please make them welcome. Who's going to talk first?
I guess I will.
Do you want us to go and have Stephen DeVal and ask the questions?
Go on. Do it. Get someone else to go under a different name. Okay, so out of this audience, how many people know what Dunk Tank is? And that picture's misleading. Because it's spelt with a C and not a K. So yeah, if you Google for Anthony Townsend Dunk Tank with a K, that's what you'll get. So don't Google for that. And if you Google for it with a C, like D-U-N-C Tank, then you'll get the right thing. But unfortunately, Ted can spell. So this was from LCA 2004, where they asked if Linus would come back, and he's basically said, yeah, as if you get a dunk tank or something, I'll be in that. And so naturally they got a dunk tank and got other people to go in it too. So Dunk Tank, the project, was a thing to try and get the release sped up a bit by collecting donations and paying the release managers so that they could work full-time for it and basically be done with it. And in theory, that was going to be all finished by the end of December, so December 4th we'd be releasing and it'd be all party time. But as usual with Debian releases, that didn't quite happen as planned or as predicted. Do you want to segue for a minute now?
Sure.
Yeah. So as AJ mentioned earlier today, there was a certain amount of controversy, as never happens on Debian mailing lists, about the whole concept of paying folks. And it seemed like the easiest way of dealing with it was to do it outside of the project, and that way it's an experiment. And if it works, great. I mean, certainly there are plenty of examples of various organizations and companies paying Debian developers. BDL talked about HP. Xandros, all the various Debian derivatives. There have certainly been plenty of examples of Debian developers doing Debian work paid for by other organizations, and so Dunk Tank was supposed to be just simply one of that. Nevertheless, it still generated a lot of controversy, but I think when all is said and done, why don't we go to that one. So this isn't blown up, but this is a graph of bugs over time. And let's see, do you have a laser pointer? I don't.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you want me to point at?
So let's see, so the red, the top line is etch-only bugs, and... the top one is etch. The one below that is in both etch and SID, is that right? And then the one below that is bugs that are only in etch. And then the lowest one is, even better. Does that work? Any better? There we go. And the bottom one is bugs that are in both that are older than 20 days. And so the first steep decline was was Steve working full time, and then the second decline right there is Andy working over was a half time over 2 months. Is that
two thirds time over a month and a half?
Yeah, two thirds time is over a month and a half. So I think it's pretty clear that there definitely was some definite good stuff came out of that. Unfortunately, since that point, the RC bug list has gone up a little.
And so there's another little decline there. That's when everyone had their Christmas New Year's break. So if we can get everyone on holidays, that's just as good.
Yep.
Let's just ignore that.
Yes. Yeah. So the other interesting thing about that is that there wasn't a whole lot of hard work in actually raising the money. You want to talk about that? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you?
So initially we were just going to try and pay that out of some of the money that Debian already has. So Debian's got 70 grand or 80 grand or something, and we were going to go for about 12 grand, and so that would have been quite simple. But because of all the controversy and that we decided basically to take it outside Debian, that means we can't use Debian's money for it and would have to do some fundraising. So we started off just by saying, on the Debian private list, saying, yep, okay, Steve says he'll put up £100. I said I'd put up a couple of $100 or something. Ted offered to match funds up to about $1,000 US or something. A few other developers also said, yeah, no, this makes sense to me. I'll be in on this and I'll put in $50 or $100 or whatever. So before we'd even decided exactly how to do it, we'd already had quite a few donations internally in Debian and a few expressions of interest from kind of corporate sort of people. And okay, that was pretty good. We might have been fairly confident of getting $4,000 or something without even asking anyone. At which point we had to work out, well, what bank account were we going to put this into? And we then spoke briefly to SPI, but that all got confused because of timing problems and whatnot, and ended up going with an organization called the Public Software Fund, which is founded and pretty much is only Russ Nelson, who's on the board of opensource.org. And that organization kind of exists purely for the purpose of providing a kind of tax-deductible way of funding open source, free software sort of projects in the United States. So that gets us your tax deduction and has a bank account and makes it reasonably easy to go through. So basically on the, that would have been about a month after we initially announced it because of the complications with SPI and just trying to find someone. And by that time, we'd basically had about 15 grand in pledges, so $3,000 over. Our only announcement, I think, was a couple of press articles that had requested interviews in any case. So we said, yeah, and by the way, there's this other project that I'm working on. And so with two press articles, a bit of controversy on Slashdot and some Debian developers, we basically had about $3,000 more than we needed in pledges. Since then, we've received almost all the donations we need, and I think we're about $1,000 or $1,500 over what we've spent.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
So with basically no fundraising, like just an announcement and a brief request on a private mailing list, we've got more than enough money to actually pay these two people for the time that they've spent. So it seems like this, and I mean, that's with a lot of controversy and not really all that much reporting and not all that much idea what it's going to lead to exactly, and it's a Debian release, and so people working on that, is that going to be successful? Who knows? That's even so, it's been fairly easy to raise the sort of money we wanted, so that kind of indicates that there's probably a fair number of people out there who are willing to donate to these sort of things, especially if they can be proven to work and proven to do something useful. So kind of the next question is, what are we going to do next and how are we going to make sure that this is something useful so that these people or all of these people who want to donate can donate and it can go somewhere useful? What next?
Yeah, well, we could...
Oh, we've got questions, do we? Well, that's really up in the air. So for this particular one, we wanted to keep it as simple as possible. So the most obvious problem Debian has is releasing on time. We started discussing this in about September, so an on-time release would have been December 4th. So that was a few months away. If we're going to do something over those few months, it's pretty obvious that that should be what it is. If we're working on the release, then the release managers are pretty obvious candidates. There's only two of them. There are two of them, so it's not just one person. We've kind of got, it's not just going to be one hero who's going to be doing it. It's going to be two people, so you can see, oh yeah, this does actually help. It's not just something unique to this one person. And it was also convenient as to who those two people were in their living arrangements and whatever else. But more generally, whether it should be we pick a particular area and kind of fund people to do that, whether that makes sense, whether it should be short-term things, or it might want to be long-term things. Like if you want to guarantee security support for stable for 5 years instead of a year and a half or a year after the next release, then maybe people want to donate to that and get that actually happening over a longer term. But that's not something you can just do for 2 months and then forget about. And what we want to do there basically depends on what people will accept, what people want to put up money for, and what people are actually willing to work on. So those sort of questions are ones we have some ideas for maybe, but it's everyone's got to come up with the answer sort of thing. It's not just enough for me and Ted to stand here and say this is what's going to happen, because other people have got to work on it, other people have got to pay for it essentially. So if people have ideas, feel free to stick your hand up and tell us about them.
Yeah, I mean, I think essentially people are, people have asked me a couple of times, so what's going to happen next? And what I basically said is, I don't know. I think I have a handle on what some of the questions ought to be, but what the answers are, I think we still need to talk to folks and get input. Some of the things that come to mind are, at the most fundamental level, is this something that Debian as an organization wants to take on itself? Or do people feel that it's better to make it be an external entity? One advantage of it being an external entity is much like the advantage of there being multiple distributions, which is if one of them doesn't quite work out, it's not a big deal. Another distribution or another funding organization, can just simply pop up. There's nothing special about a group of people coming together and saying, we want to form something called Dunk Tank. I was saying, well, tomorrow someone could, set up a another organization called Fire Squad and solicit donations and then do good stuff with it. There's nothing particularly specific about that. If, however, Debian thinks that this is something that's important enough that it ought to be done inside Debian, it starts up a whole series of questions, such as what's the right way of managing paid contractors inside the Debian governance model? There's a set of questions that goes along that direction. If it's an external organization, then there's a whole set of questions about, okay, how do you actually do it? There are some people who say, well, it ought to be something where the donors get to actually have some sort of say based on how much money they donate. Other people have said, well, you actually want to have a smaller group of people that can take the amount of money and, much like a foundation, do a lot of investigation about each of the various different funding proposals and then choose the right one. There are also questions about what's the best way to govern such an organization. Should it be something sort of like SPI, where Debian developers can vote, are given a vote to vote on the people who are on the board of this organization? Should it be people who donate at least $25 or $50 a month get to vote? I mean, there are all sorts of questions. I don't think we have any of the answers. Once we sort of figure that out, then we can sort of figure out whether or not it makes sense to start a new organization or make it be a sub-project of SPI or PubSoft or any number of other things. So I don't think anything is set in stone, and I think a lot of it is, we need to hear what people what people think and what people want to say. And this might be a good of place as any if people have any questions or comments.
So just as a kind of poll or show of ideas, the sort of things that everyone here would like to see funded, would anyone here like to stick their hand up and say, I'd like to see nothing Debian-related funded? Okay, so that means you've all got something that you'd like to see funded. How about security stuff? Does anyone think it makes sense to have people paid full time or regularly or something to do security stuff?
Are you talking about improvements or?
I'm talking about security support, so exploits. Well, actually, I could be talking about either, but first of all, exploits. So there's been an exploit in Firefox. We need to get it fixed as soon as possible. oh good, someone's being paid to work on it this 12-hour period, and they've got it out.
Are you referring to actual passion of those things? Are you referring to like collecting them? Are you referring to notifications of them?
Potentially all of those things.
The whole process?
Yeah.
One person?
I can't imagine one person doing it. I would expect it would be more like five people who each work one day, or three people who work the entire week.
Aren't you setting an expectation where you get hundreds of people in the community who want to earn some money by just jumping in and helping, and now you have no money to pay them?
How many people would like to jump right in and earn money by doing full-time security support for Debian? We have one hand up at the back. Is there anyone else? So up to a point, you might get lots of people, but equally, a lot of these things are hard, so even for money, it's hard to jump in. Yeah. Ideally, yeah.
Security is different because there are a lot of tasks that nobody wants to do, that nobody cares to put. I mean, if you look at, even if you look at the Debian news that Joey started up and then he got bored with, and now the other Joey's looking at and he's got bored on giving one of the talks he was giving earlier. I mean, there are tasks that are fundamentally not exciting or interesting enough for people just to do in their own free time.
So I've heard other people suggest that Debian Weekly News is something that's valuable enough to keep going. Who would who would agree with that sort of sentiment?
Yes.
Stick your hand up.
I think Debian Weekly News is one of the main ways we have of talking to people.
Okay. Yes, Linux Weekly News.
I think that Debian Weekly News is going to provide much better value than the Linux Weekly News can. I'm sure not any of the other developers are going to get around to using the Linux Weekly News subscription.
I'm not sure how much the Linux Weekly News subscription ends up costing. They might be completely different orders of magnitude or something too, but it's a fair point. Does anyone else think there's stuff in Debian that's... So how much would you be willing to sponsor one of your bug reports for, though?
Depends how much it costs me at the time. I mean, some of it might be $10, some of it might be $100. But other people doing that.
You can do it right now. There was one time I was working for an ISP in the Netherlands, and we needed a new feature in one of the Debian packages. So I sent an email to the Debian developer and said, how much would I pay you to get this new feature in? Because I couldn't write the feature in at that time. I couldn't want to do it. We ended up paying the employer of this guy, equivalent to about $3,000 straight dollars.
Yeah, there is actually an example, a worked example of that for CodeWeaver. The crossover office product, they have a compatibility list of various programs that work or don't work under crossover office, which is a commercially supported version of Wine. And people can bid on getting support in crossover office for some particular application. Believe it or not, people are actually willing to pay money so that Notes, IBM Note 7 or whatever, will actually work under crossover office. And when they get that money, then CodeWeavers will actually do the work. So there are examples of that sort of thing being done. But yeah, that I think that'd be interesting. I think BDL has a comment.
Hey.
I mean, you can break it up into multiple different problems, right? There's identifying the person. In some cases, if it's a bounty that's paid after the work is done, then sometimes you can count on the people who have the skills to do it. But then one of the other questions is the whole management question, right? How do you determine whether or not the work was done to sufficient quality that you should actually pay out the bounty or pay out the whatever? And in general, that's one of the questions that gets sticky the moment you actually have money in, which is, it's one thing to say, well, the release managers are a known quantity, we can ask them to submit reports, we can take a look at the bug counts, and you know, it's pretty obvious to see whether or not they're actually doing work. But the more general case problem, it's actually a little bit interesting about how do you actually determine whether or not they're doing a good job, et cetera.
So you're effectively bribing a maintainer to behave in a certain way, right? And that might not be the best interest of the project.
Is that an actual offer?
Yes, but it doesn't break the law. Any funding is paid, so it's a money motivator.
Right.
It should be an incentive, not a motivator. So I would put the money towards a bug bounty more than a salary. Because you're identifying one person who may not be liked by other people if you obtain the salary, but if you set up as a bug bounty, you get many people submitting potential patches. And of course, you don't even incur the
Did you have a question or
yes,
comment?
I'm wondering whether the fact there are bugs and then there's bugs. In fact, what we should be looking at is not how we, who's going to do the job, but how important that particular bugs are. Some of the bugs can make the whole system fall over. Mm-hmm. Other ones might fix a bug and just makes it look pretty. But maybe what we need to do in our bug, when we report the bugs, we need to say how important that is to the work that we're doing and have some prioritisation. Mm-hmm. And then if people see it's really important, you may find that the bugs are coming through to actually sponsor that. Who's going to do the problems instead of saying what the problems are, so we can then get people to see what how critical that is. Some sort of change, right?
We just got that done.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, may I make this the last because we're running pretty short on time at the moment.
Speaking to someone who actually volunteers his time for a community driven distribution, my problem with any pay for performance model, which is really what this is that it turns you away from pride in your distribution
Did everyone hear that? Did everyone hear that up the back? Yes? Okay, I can't see any shaking heads. So
we're already having it, except no one knows what's going on.
One of the things that kind of inspired this back in August was that Steve Langoshek was having problems actually finding time to go through release critical bugs because he was working basically more than full time on some PHP work, which is kind of free software related, is very helpful for the guy that was employing him, but was also making it impossible for him to actually follow up on release critical questions, in particular, I think, the Python issue at the time. So one thing you've got to really worry about with all this is making sure that it's not about, oh yeah, I'm only going to write free software for the money, that it's rather about, I'm going to write free software anyway, and the money means that I don't have to worry about these distractions elsewhere, and that it doesn't go beyond that into, oh yeah, I don't really want to do this work, but hey, it's my job, so I guess I have to, and oh, I don't really want to do it very well, but nah, that'll do, whatever, it'll get me paid. So yeah, if anyone has any things that they'd like to suggest are worth focusing on, people, projects, other suggestions, talk to me or Ted or other people during the week, and that'll be great, and I don't think we've got any time for anything more.
No, we're going to have to cut it off. People who are speakers in the main conference, you've got about 6 minutes to get to the speakers' dinner meeting point. So thanks, guys.